these two people are using a chess clock. If you've never seen a chess clock, it is a special clock, and it is designed to record the amount of time a player takes to move his or her chess pieces. If you use a chess clock, there are multiple ways to use it. You might use it to record the entire game, or it's possible to use it in something that's called speed chess. Speed chess means that you set the clock for a minute, maybe 2 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. And all of your moves must be made within that allotted time period. If you don't make all your moves before your time is literally up, you lose the game by default. Time is important. It's not only important, we show that importance by the way that we count it. We heard that from a scripture reading, 1 Samuel chapter 29 and verse 3. If you were to go back to that text, you would find that there was a pagan king. This pagan king was asked to defend his decision to have David as part of his military campaign, and the king appealed to time. The king said that David and his men, they had been with me for years. And that was his justification, that was his rationale for David participating in the military battle. Less than 2 weeks ago, we began a quote-unquote new year. God has a lot to say about time. And a lot of what he has to say is found in the earliest parts of the Bible. For instance, if we back up to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5, we have some information there which does not specifically use the word time, but that's what's being described. You see time when God talks about day and light and night and morning and darkness. Most know that the 24-hour period of time, which is tied to the daily course of the sun, that helps us determine time. In addition to what we have in Genesis, we also have, and this is a paraphrase of Psalm 104 and verse 19, he, that's God, created the moon, which marks the seasons, and the sun, which knows when to set. More references to time. And here, of course, we also have the word seasons. If you look at this same psalm and you go down a little further in verses 22 and 23, the text continues with this. When the sun rises, they, that will be the lions, gather and lie down in their dens. Then people go to do their work, to do their tasks until evening. If you were to look up the word day or days in the Bible, you'd find that there are more than 2,000 references to day and days. God often talks about time in terms of a day or days. If you did some examining when it comes to the Bible and time, you'd find something else. There are not only references to a day or days. Sometimes in Scripture, you find references to a period of days. In other words, several days batched together. Now, you might be thinking that sounds a lot like a week, and that is right. When we think about God, sometimes he refers to time in this type of block or this period of time. God used 7 days. He used seven 24-hour days to create all things. The seventh day, of course, was going to be a day of rest. Sometimes people have the idea that God used millions and millions of years or there was no God, but this is what God affirms in Exodus 20 and verse 11. For in 6 days, that would be six 24 literal hour days. In 6 days, Jehovah made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is and rested the seventh day. God says he's the creator. People don't always believe that, but God says that everything is here because of him and his work, not because of evolution. In the New Testament, we also find that the period of a week is also described. In the New Testament, you should find at least 9 different references to that 7-day period known as a week. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, Mark 16 and verse 9. The Corinthians came together on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. The people at Troas, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, they came together for the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. So God talks about a day. God talks about days. God also talks about a week. We've already seen a reference to the years in 1 Samuel chapter 29, but what about months? Does God ever talk about a month or months? He does. This aspect of time is in Genesis 7 and verse 11, plus some other places. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, there is that period of time as well. The 17th day of the month. So days, weeks, months, years, all of these references are in the Bible, and they all help us reckon time. Sometimes as we think about time, it is reckoned in terms of a person's lifetime. In Psalm 19, verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Sometimes people, they don't want to reveal their age. You ask, how old are you? And they say, I'm not telling. Especially after they reach a certain point in life. But the Bible says that there are years. Sometimes people use those years to count their biological age. And Scripture says in Psalm 19, verse 10, that if you happen to reach the age of 80, you have lived for a long time. Not everybody lives that long. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 tells us, verse 4, that there is one generation after another. Time marches on. The old and the young, they pay attention to it at some point. Solomon, as he thinks about the various generations and what passes, he says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, as far as the cycle of life, as far as time as it continues to progress. He says, the sun came up yesterday, and the sun's going to come up today. He says, there are windy days. Maybe today is more or less windy than tomorrow, but we have wind time and time again. He talks about the rivers. The rivers may rise, the rivers may fall, but it is something that is ongoing. There's no real change. He says that people use the same old phrases. You know somebody who uses the same old phrase again and again and again? I know some people like that. And Solomon says that's just part of the cycle of life. In some ways, life is like this giant treadmill. Time just keeps going on and going on and going on, but we do mark it. Think about all the new years you have experienced. Can you remember a single new year when someone failed to say to you, Happy New Year? I can't. Every new year that I can remember, every new year, I think I would have remembered that had somebody failed to say Happy New Year to me. So our world changes things up a little bit, but really it is the same old stuff. Time just keeps progressing and we really don't see any changes. For all practical purposes, it is business as usual. Now somebody might say, now wait a minute, 2025 was certainly different. We woke up, at least I did, to a terrorist attack in America. The timing for the attack may have been different. Maybe we don't always see that on New Year's Day. And certainly could have been different because of the year. But we've seen attacks before, and we would not be surprised if there are more in the future. People sometimes get excited about a new year. But think about where we are right now. Are you still excited about a new year? We're about 2 weeks into the new year, and I don't hear a lot of people talking about the new year. It's, again, we're back on that treadmill. A new year's come, and Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 5 through 11 is exactly right. In many ways, time is a gift from God. But time is not our only gift from God. God has given us the gift of time, but he's also given us the gift to measure time, to mark time, to see how time is progressing. Can you imagine, especially in our day, in our time, in our culture, if we didn't have time, how difficult life would be? Can you imagine living in America right now and not being able to measure time? By and large, with the tools that we have, life would be exceedingly difficult. So we have two of God's great gifts before us, two great gifts that we often fail to remember, perhaps two great gifts that we often fail to thank him for. As we think about this precious gift of time and our ability to count it or reckon it, it is also good to remember that it is a way of testing our character. We've already seen one reference from Psalm 90. Let's go back and look at another one, Psalm 19, verse 12. A writer says, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to think about time. Teach us to look at time and contemplate the fact that seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years are passing and we can't get them back. God, teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. In the New Testament, Paul makes the same point. When he wrote the Ephesian letter, Ephesians 5 and verse 16, he says, redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity when it comes to time. When we're young, and some here are young, it may seem that time will never end for us. I can remember some Sunday afternoons in my younger years, everything was closed up, and those days were long days. The minutes seems like hours. The hours seem like weeks. But you know, a strange thing happens. In my younger years, I remember people telling me, at some point in your life, it's going to seem like time speeds up. And I thought, well, how can that be? I've reached that time where it seems like time sometimes speeds up. And if you have heard someone say that and you don't believe it's true, one day you will. One day it will seem like life is hastening by. One day you're going to get to a point in your life where a week passes and you look back at that week. You can look back at that 7-day period and you can say, it seems like it was just yesterday. It seems like only 24 or 48 hours have passed. How could a week have gone by? You will get to a point where you look at a year that's passed. And as you reflect back on that year, you will be asking yourself, how could another year have gone by? We were just doing this, or we were thinking about that, or we were just there. You hear parents ask that same question. Our children are grown, and where did the years go? Well, they didn't lose them. They didn't go any faster for them than anybody else. But our perception of time changes. You see, time is not only a gift from God. Being able to count time is not only a gift from God. Time is actually part of God's warning system. In Genesis chapter 5, there is some information about Noah and his descendants. You find several people mentioned, and along with their ages, you have these words, "He died." He died. Their time came to an end. Time, the very nature of it means that each one of us is getting older. And unless the Lord comes back, one day our earthly life will cease. It is for this reason that Scripture is replete. It is literally filled with information as far as be careful with your time. Sometimes those warnings are found in the lives of rulers. You read about several times in the Old Testament people who came into power, perhaps at a young age. And maybe they ruled for several decades. But the time, the day came when they had to surrender that rule. Their time ran out. Their rule expired. Before becoming a Christian, I played in some public chess tournaments. And as I think back to those years, there were some times, there were some occasions where I was winning a game. I was doing well. I would have most definitely won the match, but I was on the clock. And there were some times where I was winning because I did not use my time very well. I was spending my time thinking when I should have been spending my time playing. And because I mismanaged my time, I spent too much time thinking about the game, that little flag dropped and I lost. God would point at the clock, "You lost! Your time is up." And that was true. I might have been way ahead. Maybe I was just a move or two away from winning the game. But my clock said I was out of time. In many ways, life is like a chess clock. We have that clock of time, and it is moving against every single one of us, and we can't stop the hands. Oh, we might be trying to beat the clock. We might be racing here and there, and we're trying to squeeze in as much stuff as we can get in with the time that we have. And we might hope that the clock of time will never stop for us. God and the Bible tell us that one day the clock of time will end for us too. A lot of chess clocks have that little flag. And once that flag drops, it's game over. There are no second chances. You really don't have the opportunity to say, "Oh, I almost had you." No, you didn't. It wasn't close. When that flag falls, that immediately ends the game. God tells us about time from a lot of different perspectives. In addition to what we've looked at thus far, there's this. We sometimes have prophetic time. When we think about the Old Testament prophets, they pointed to time and various events. They often predicted major events before they occurred. For example, we have information about war, captivity, the fate of nations. There were predictions about Jesus. Jesus and John the Baptist both said, "The time is at hand, the time is now for the kingdom of God." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, Peter says, "The time is now for the last days." People sometimes say, "The last days are here." Peter said, "Those days came, those days started 2,000 years ago." John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, 2,000 years ago, says, "Now is the last hour." God tells us that we are in the last dispensation of time. Time is literally running out for the whole world. Jesus once told a story about a man. We, as we look at that information, don't typically relate it to time, but that's how I want to use it today. Information is in Luke chapter 12. Jesus spoke a parable unto some people, and he said, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Now, this guy was wealthy. Where did he get his money from? The Bible doesn't tell us. Did he inherit his wealth? Maybe. Did he work hard? Maybe 1 year, possibly. Is this fellow someone who spent several years in agriculture? Possibly. Was he a thief? Jesus didn't say. But it seems at least possible, if not likely, that this fellow worked. And he probably worked hard for a significant amount of time to accumulate a lot as far as material wealth. There are certainly today people who spend a lot of time and energy trying to become rich. This fella did need to spend at least enough time for 1 year for his fields to produce. But maybe this man had spent years farming, years of waiting. But he does accumulate a great amount of wealth. And after he becomes wealthy, he spends some more time thinking, "How should I spend my money?" Luke chapter 12 and verse 17. And he reasoned within himself. He's taking more time thinking and saying, "What shall I do? Because I have not where to bestow my fruits." How much time did this guy spend focusing on all the stuff that he had? I don't know. Days, weeks, months, maybe a year or more. But I do know that as Jesus tells this story, this guy thought he had a time, a lot of time. Luke 12 and verse 18, he says, "This will I do. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And when I have those bigger barns, I'm going to be able to bestow all my fruit, all my labor, all my goods. Construction projects can take a long time in our day and time. Think about 2,000 years ago. No Lowe's, no Home Depot. If you wanted to build bigger barns, this was going to be a giant undertaking. And this man apparently failed to consider that his time might be limited. He might not have enough time to do that very thing. In fact, as you look a little further in the text, you find that it appears he thought time was on his side. Luke 12:19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods, and you have goods laid up for how long? Many years. He thought, time is my friend. I've got time to waste. I've got time to spare. I've got time to use. Little though did this man know that his time was about up. Luke 12:20. But God said unto him, thou foolish one, this night, less than 24 hours after you were making all those plans, is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? This guy was confident. He had years, a long time to use all that he had. But Jesus says, you're on the clock, and your flag's going to fall within 24 hours. A new year's great. We can celebrate it. We can have plans, and often we do. But as you look at Scripture, we find that we are told to number our days, Psalm 90, and have the right priorities. When we least expect it, the Lord may come back, or our time may come to an end. In Daniel chapter 5, you have some information that's really a fascinating story. It involves a king who had a giant party. It was big. This guy invites 1,000 officials to this event. Now, what kind of party would you have if you have 1,000 important people? Wine, as you look at Daniel chapter 5, it was flowing freely. People must have been having a great time. Idols were being freely and openly praised at this gathering, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 4. Daniel 5:5 says, though, that something unusual happened. There were the fingers of a human hand. And these fingers on a human hand, they begin to write some information on one of the walls. Now, you can imagine that would creep somebody out under any set of circumstances. But if you've got 1,000 people and they're liquored up, that's really going to spook the folks. The king saw that, Daniel 5 and verse 6, and he panicked. It terrified him. The king wanted some help, so he said, if there is anybody who can understand what's taking place, if someone can interpret that writing on the wall, I'll give them just about everything. They'll be richly rewarded, Daniel 5 and verse 7. Nobody could figure it out. But then the queen enters into the story. And the queen says, I want you to know that there is this guy by the name of Daniel. And he's been useful in the past. If Daniel were consulted, he could probably come and help us understand the situation. So the text says Daniel was found. Daniel comes and says, I can translate that. I can tell you exactly what that means. But king, you can keep your money. Don't want your wealth. Before the interpretation in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 24, the prophet basically says this to the king. God holds your entire life in his hands. And king, I want you to know that you have treated the God of heaven with contempt. You failed the test. You have not used your time, among other things, very well, and you failed the exam. In a similar way, our lives are being tested by time. Looking back at 2024, how did you use your time last year? 2025, we're almost 2 weeks into the new year. How are we using our time this year? When the first day of the week, Sunday, comes, how are we going to use our time? If we're given at least a few more months to live, how are we going to use our time? One of the greatest gifts, and oftentimes we don't think about it in this way, but one of the greatest gifts God has given us is time. And we're stewards of that time. How are we using it? There is literally a countdown clock for each one of us. And we don't know when it's going to go off. Will that be today? Will that be within the next hour? Will we get to the end of the year? Do we have 20 years left? 80 years left? We don't know. But if we're not ready for our clock to expire at this very moment, we're in bad shape. We've got a serious problem. And it is a problem that God warns us about through time. We mark time But God says, you be wise with your time because it will run out. If our time ran out today, would our eternal destiny be heaven or hell? That's a really important question because in eternity, there is no time. It is just existence. If we don't get things figured out in time, we cannot fare well in eternity. If you're not ready for eternity, take the time now to do what's right as we stand and sing.